All right, welcome back once again to our podcast on the Holy Spirit. I am sitting down again with Pastor Taylor Foster. Taylor, welcome back.
It's good to be here. Cool.
We are talking about last time we talked about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. This time we are talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Both of these subjects are really closely connected. Gifts of the Spirit. Supernatural gifts of the Spirit. Boy, there's a whole lot of thoughts and conversation and even denominations built around the gifts of the Spirit. I want to ask about the desire for the gifts of the Spirit.
Okay.
So Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, he says, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy.
Yeah.
Earnestly desire is like a little bit more than, hey, maybe kind of want this.
Yeah.
You know, there's some passion, there's some intentionality, I suppose. How do I earnestly desire the gifts? Is there a wrong way to earnestly desire them? You know, I think I've heard some criticism towards people who are like real big on like, oh, we need to be operating the spiritual gifts. People will say, I feel like you're maybe just a little too focused on that or care a little bit too much about that.
Yeah.
Can you speak to what that desire can look like?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, before we jump into that, I think it goes back to what's the purpose of the gifts, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking about the purpose of the gifts. I think the purpose of the gifts is to edify the body, to build up the church, build up the body of Christ, which all of us have a role in doing, which is why it's actually kind of paradoxically so sad that the spiritual gifts have caused so much division in the body.
Yeah.
Their very function is meant to build it up.
Mm.
So think about that. It's like, man, my daughter's sick and I give her some cough medicine. It's supposed to help her. It's like, man, it's supposed to build you up, restore your immune system. And it actually makes it worse. It's kind of, I've never thought of it that way, but the purpose of the gifts is to build up the body, bring her health. And it says even in Romans that different giftings and different parts of the body belong to one another.
Mm.
That beautiful level of like, hey, I'm not my own. Like I belong to Pastor Cole. Pastor Cole belongs to me. Mm-hmm. Pastor Charity belongs here. We all utilize our giftings in a way that builds up the body. But it, I don't know, man, as you were talking, my heart was a little broken that it's true. There are denominations formed based off of believing or not believing in the gifts or certain gifts. You're not feeling like you speak in tongues. You know, think of some of these different sects within Protestant evangelicalism. And so anyway, that just breaks my heart.
Yeah.
But the danger of kind of earnestly desiring the gifts, I think when you get your identity in what you do for God, not who you are for God, can always quickly lead to a heresy. So hi, my name's Pastor Taylor. If I'm not a pastor, what am I?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Hey, I'm Taylor, and right now I happen to be a pastor.
Yep.
You see the difference? It's completely different. It's like, well, hey, I'm prophetic now. It's like, you're prophetic when the Spirit gives you a gift of prophecy.
Sure.
You don't walk as just, I'm a prophetic person. Like, when your identity is laced within the gifts of the Spirit, God's freely given by grace, charis, the word grace. The gifts, charis, grace, the same word. It's given freely from God. It's not earned from you. Anytime you kind of cling to those things, it can be dangerous. But a healthy way to eagerly desire the gift is from a posture of availability and usage. Hey, God, here I am. Use me as you see fit. I think of, and this is completely off topic, but John Wesley, the famous Methodist minister, if you haven't heard of him, Methodist movement in England, revival lasted, about 70 years. His brother Charles Wesley wrote several hymns. Hark the Herald Angels Sing is one of Pastor Noah's favorites that I request every year at youth, and he never does. But when he's listening to this now, Father, give him conviction in Jesus' name. oh, dude, the content's so good. But John Wesley, when he got filled with the Holy Spirit and truly born again after being a failed missionary in the Americas, if you haven't heard the story of John Wesley, goes over there as a missionary, hates it, comes back on a boat. They nearly get shipwrecked. Moravians are on the boat worshiping God because they're about to see him. And he's like, whatever they have, I don't have.
Yep.
And it was the Spirit of God and the gifts of the Spirit that the Moravian movement was open to. And he comes back, gets born again, filled with the Spirit of God, and he has this crazy prayer where he says, Lord, use me as you see fit. Put me to preaching, put me on the shelf. Put me to serving, put me to ministering. Use me for great things, use me for nothing. I am thine and thou art mine. Let this prayer be ratified in heaven as it is on earth. That complete posture of availability.
Yeah.
And then God breathed on him, I would say, as an evangelist, apostolic teacher with gifts of prophecy, gifts of healing, Man, it was wild what God did. And God used his brother, Charles.
Yeah.
And talk about some leadership giftings there. When we talk about the motivational gifts, there's three types of gifts. We want to get into that later.
Yeah.
But man, their small groups were game changers. They did those house groups of legitimate discipleship. That's where you get the Methodist movement. Mm-hmm. Their methodology of accountability and doing life together. Oh, it's groundbreaking. My grandpa had a hilarious quote. He said, Billy Graham probably got more people saved, but John Wesley has more people in heaven. Because of their discipleship methodology. That's why they're called the Methodists.
Whoa, yeah.
Yeah, whoa, yeah. Isn't that fun? Yeah.
Tell me more about, you said there's like three different categories for spiritual gifts. There's motivational gifts, supernatural. Let's go there.
Yeah, well, let's start out with the basic ones. So you got your ministry gifts, right? Sure. The fivefold ministry. You got apostle, teacher, evangelist, pastor, and what's the other one? Prophet. So those are your kind of ministry gifts, which... Again, we'll talk about offices, someone who has an office of a prophet, office of a teacher. Man, big, big difference than having a gift of prophecy, okay? Mm-hmm. These are ministerial gifts that are given, and most likely these people, they're probably going to be full-time vocational, occupational ministers. There's a level of anointing in that area. I've only met like a handful of people who really flow in offices. I would say Pastor Les is a thoroughbred pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at Pastor Micah as a teacher, in my opinion, with some prophetic bending and pastoral abilities for sure, which is why I think it's so cool seeing the transition going so well between those two. I think, talk about building up the body. Holy crap, man. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. I think heaven's cheering that on. And so we'll see how our people adjust to those different giftings. So those are the ministerial gifts. And then you have the motivational gifts. This is mentioned in Romans chapter 12. You have prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, and showing mercy. And which makes them motivational gifts, it's the reason why you do what you do. Again, my desire is, at times, I have a heavy motivational gift of teaching.
Yeah.
I want my kids to understand the gospel, man.
Yeah.
I want them to understand their identity in Christ. I want them to know that. And then other times, as a coach, man, I have an encouraging in me. I want to see them validate. I want to see my kids feel like they're doing a good job and feel encouraged. And so different people flow in those. And mercy, I think of Pastor Haroon in Fremont. I was on a Serbian mission trip with him. That dude, it was with a bunch of high schoolers, Cole. You know, I've gone to many counseling sessions after that missions trip. Global journey. Sorry, we don't call them mission trips. My bad. But Haroon, bro, full of mercy, always showing people mercy. And so those are the motivational gifts. And then we have the famous gifts of the Spirit that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, which are like the manifestation gifts, which is, you know, gifts of knowledge, of wisdom, of faith, of tongues, interpretation of tongues, healing, working miracles, prophesying, discerning between spirits. There's nine listed there.
Yeah.
And I don't think those are all comprehensive either. I think there's more giftings out there, but Paul mentioned those nine as identifiable features of the gifts of the Spirit as the Holy Spirit pours those out. And I would argue those nine gifts can be poured out to every single Christian.
Mm.
They don't all have them, but they can have them at any time God sees fit.
Sure.
It's like a river, man. We might flow in different currents, more of a teacher. Would you consider yourself, as you look at the fivefold, Cole, where'd you put yourself? Oh.
Teaching and probably evangelism.
For sure.
Just the motivation, because that's where my heart tends to go. Yep. Like you were saying, I want them to understand so much of the teacher, for sure, 100%, multiple times on multiple days. I'm like, if I could just teach and do nothing else, that'd be amazing.
If they could get this, it changed their life.
Yeah, but so there's Lord, also...
let me break their phone right now. Just kidding.
Yeah, so you mentioned, I think... anybody can flow in these. Not necessarily everybody has all of them.
Correct.
So you wouldn't say it's like a, almost like maybe compared to genetics, where like you're born and you have this trait.
Mm.
I got brown eyes. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's my trait, my gift forever, never to change. It's like assigned to me. Right. So you would say spiritual gifts, maybe not quite that permanent in the sense of you only have one, or maybe you have more than one, but those are the only ones you'll ever flow in.
Mm.
Would you say more, you can access as God sees fit.
Correct.
Whatever gifts. Have you seen this?
Yes.
Sorry. Can you say more about
that? I interrupted. Have you said? Yes, I have.
Thank you. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Say more.
I'll say more. And I think you'll meet like people like Pastor Dave, man, he flows in discernment. Prophetic, you know what I mean? But that dude's a shepherd. So like he might be more in the current of a pastor.
Yeah.
But then he's got this heavy teaching motivation and all these things. And that's where the gifts are like, it's like a river with five heads. You know what I mean? We all have our stream, but then the gifts can be sprinkled in any stream at any time. Mm-hmm. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Almost like leaves falling down on the river. I'm taking this illustration too far, but, and then the motivation is the current direction. No, I'm kidding. And the spirit's the water, obviously. It's all in him and from him and to him are all things.
Yep.
But this idea, you'll have a certain pattern of self-awareness. Like, man, I primarily operate in these giftings. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean you can't operate in others. And I'd say, look at the Apostle Paul. Look at his life.
Yeah.
How many gifts of the spirit did Paul have? We see him healing people. We see him casting out demons. Mm-hmm. Self-identified apostolic.
Yep.
Yep. We see him speaking in tongues and interpreting tongues.
Yep.
Bro, so it's like, man, we have that film, and I've seen it in my own life. I don't flow in the gift of healing. Mm. Have people been healed that I prayed for to be healed? Yes.
Yeah.
And I felt faith for it, and I felt God was in it. And so I was, again, obediently available to it. Back to John Wesley's covenant prayer. Put me on the shelf. Put me to serving. Put me to healing. Put me to speaking in tongues. One of the things about the gift of tongues, which I think... tongues is the freaky one, right? I went to a Southern, yeah. went to a Southern Baptist seminary, and so most of my buddies, they're cessationists. they don't believe in tongues, and I do. And so I think tongues, there's a ton of confusion with it. Tongues is a powerful gift of the Spirit that, again, Paul, we see him talking to the churches where they all are speaking in tongues. So tongues mm-hmm. was very normative, right? And I think for us, we've kind of made tongues a weird thing where it's like either we believe everyone has to speak in tongues to be filled, or, hey, tongues is only for a select few, where I think there's – I've never seen anyone ask for the gift of tongues in a posture of availability and not get it. Mm-hmm. It might not be right away. There's a level of tarrying, which sure. is a word we don't like to talk about, tarrying, which means waiting, travailing in prayer. And the Azusa Street Revival, the Holy Spirit was poured out massively. We were talking about this a little bit earlier in 1904, yeah. and Spirit of God would drop on people left and right, and some people wouldn't be getting gifts. And then they had an upper room where they would go and pray and wait on the Holy Ghost to move. It was the room of tarry, yeah. where they would go up there and tarry in prayer for the Lord to move.
Yeah.
Going back to the last episode, hunger and thirsting after the Spirit.
Yeah.
And these gifts are an evidence of being filled. They're not the primary evidence. I would say fruit of the Spirit and boldness. Those would be my biblical primary evidences
sure.
of being filled. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit accompany the apostles throughout the book of Acts and other areas in Scripture where we see for the common good of the church, man, we need prophets, we need teachers, we need evangelists, we need people getting healed.
Yeah.
And the thing that sucks that I see, sorry for saying sucks on a podcast, Mom, if you hear this, the thing that's a bummer for me, yep, had to, I know, is that we see people who have different gifts grouped together and not with people of different gifts. Mm. My dream, I've joked with you about this, yep. my dream yep. is to see a church where it's like a Bill Johnson from Bethel and a Tim Keller from Redeemer Presbyterian in New York City on the same staff,
yeah.
right? Teacher, miracle worker. Like, we yeah. need each other to have the full representation of the bride of Christ on earth, but all the charismatics go over here, all the really good doctrine teachers go over here, and it's yeah. divisive. It's not building up the body. And that's why I keep going, bro. The heartbeat of the gifts is love.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 13 is smack dab in the middle of 12 and 14. Mm-hmm. The best teaching we have on the spiritual gifts in all of Scripture, 12 and 14, right in the middle is love.
Yeah.
Because that's the whole heartbeat of the gifts yeah. from the Spirit of God.
So I think a lot of people fear or have felt the pain of the abuse of the spiritual gifts, or the abuse of the idea maybe of spiritual gifts. We're talking about love and the proper use of them. How do you abuse spiritual gifts?
Yeah, I would say you elevate them to a place of absurdity, and there's often shame associated with, or control. Mm. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Things like this, well, I follow the anointing. It's like, okay, well, what's the anointing? You see that? So it can be coercive, and anything can be abused, from spiritual gifts to doctrine. All these things can be abused. And that's where we need a balance, healthy covering, community. That's where I think if you ever see these spiritual gifts getting abused on people who are weak, where's the prophets standing up for the unjust? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where are the true prophets who are speaking out against people being ostracized or taken advantage of? And that's where, whenever there's abuse, there's always a reaction to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah.
And that's where, as a church that's anchored and worshiping in spirit and in truth, my grandpa once put it this way, all spirit will blow you up, all truth will dry you up, spirit and truth will fill you up. Mm. We need both, and we need balance in it. And humility. Again, as we're talking about gifts, man, I'm 32. We're novices. I think I mentioned that in the last part.
Yep.
We don't know what we're talking about. Thank you for listening. But what I'm saying, I will get to heaven and realize I was wrong about so many things, but my humility, this side of it, will help save me from those errors. Mm. Ecclesiastes, God is in heaven, man is on earth, let your words be few.
Yeah.
And so when I look at the spiritual gifts, I see no evidence of God removing the Holy Spirit prior to the parousia of Christ, the return of Christ.
Yep.
Therefore, I see no evidence of him removing the gifts from his church. And I've personally experienced them, and I've seen it in the Word of God and in my life. And how can I not eagerly desire more of that without making it an idol? Because those are part of my calling, not my identity of who I am before Christ as a son or daughter. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So again, whenever the gifts bleed into identity, it gets dangerous.
Yep.
Again, if I never prophesy again, or if I never preach another sermon again, dude,
right?
Like, honestly, after this podcast, probably never again. But if I do, it's like, Lord, my identity wasn't in that. My identity's in who you say I am, not what I do for you.
Yeah.
So I think that's where the passion, desire for the gifts can get unhealthy, when it bleeds into identity, not just being useful and available for God building his church through our lives.
Yeah. Man, so. That's good. Well, it's a deep subject, and I wish I could ask you more, but that's the end of this one. So, dude, thanks so much for sitting down with me. Thanks for, honestly, messing around for probably too long before we hit the record button.
So much fun. We record all that, by the way. We have our deep cuts with Pastor Cole and Taylor.
Yeah, we'll release it. You can buy that at our next Thirst Conference. No, I'm kidding. but thank you guys so much for listening. I hope this is helpful for you as you explore spiritual gifts and ask the Lord, what do you want to do here? I love that prayer from John Wesley.
Oh, yeah, the covenant prayer. We should have that linked on there. It's a famous prayer. It's John Wesley's covenant prayer.
That's so good.
It's powerful, man.
Check it out. Read it. Maybe even pray it this week a few times. Meditate on it. That would be so good. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you in the next one. Bye.